Welcome to Social Justice Matters, a podcast from Social Justice Ireland. My name is Colette Bennett, and I'm a research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Hopefully everyone listening is feeling safe and well as the lifting of restrictions continues. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Tricia Keelty, Head of Social Justice with the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, and Dr. Micheál Collins, Assistant Professor of Social Policy at the School of Social Policy, Social Work and Social Justice in UCD, and author of the report we're talking about today. This report, The Hidden Cost of Poverty, Estimating the Public Services Cost of Poverty in Ireland, was published by St. Vincent de Paul about 2 weeks ago. So you're both very welcome today, and thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Now, this report, as I said, was just published about 2 weeks ago. It's a fascinating read for anyone even remotely interested in public policy. And the findings, which we'll go into in more detail in a few minutes, they're really stark, they're really startling. But firstly to you, Tricia, if I can, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul commissioned this study. What prompted you to focus on this aspect of poverty?
Well, I suppose if you think about the work of SVP, we support people in poverty in a number of ways. And obviously, first and foremost, that's providing direct assistance to people in need. And then the work of our team is to advocate on behalf of those to government in terms of supports and services needed to help move people out of poverty. But another part of our role, which we hope that we try to contribute, is in terms of how we talk about poverty and how we think about poverty. So I think this report gives a wider lens to the issue of poverty, because sometimes it's seen as an issue that only affects one group in society. It's not seen as a broader societal issue, and maybe that's a reason why it's not given the priority it needs, maybe when it comes to government policy making and the agenda in relation to it. So if you think about the individual costs of poverty, which are very apparent to members of SVP in terms of the impact it has on people's physical and mental health, lost opportunity, and just the daily sacrifices people have to make ends meet when they simply don't have enough income to meet outgoings. And I suppose it links very much with another piece of research which we published nearly 2 years ago, which was carried out by the Ascension Partnership for Social Justice, which looked at the lived experience of people who are living in poverty and really sought to shine a light on what that looks like in Ireland today. And that really very graphically illustrated the costs that poverty brings to people. So I think doing this piece of research, we sought to broaden that out to look at the wider societal impacts of poverty and use that both in our policy and advocacy work as a means to pushing for the changes that are needed, because I suppose the message is that tackling poverty not just benefits people who are experiencing, but it has much greater societal benefits as well. So that's the kind of perspective and why we had commissioned an economist who can do the facts and figures and quantify that for us. So we're delighted Micheál was able to take this piece of work on for us.
Great. And that leads me to Micheál. You conducted the research, you wrote up the report, and it's set out under six policy and expenditure headings. So there's healthcare, there's children and families, education and training, housing, Gardaí, criminal justice and emergency services, and then certain welfare supports. That's a pretty comprehensive list. Can you tell us a little bit about the methodology and why these particular areas were chosen?
Yeah, well, I suppose first it was really nice to have an opportunity to do this report. It was a big piece of work, and that's reflected, I suppose, in that big sweep of public policy areas that you mentioned there. And when you add up the overall spending that the government does on all of those areas every year, it's almost 28 billion euro of spending. So it reflects a very large part of what the state does and the way in which the state engages with society. And I suppose the idea for the methodology here was then to dig into that spending to see, well, what proportion of that is associated with poverty, or maybe to put that in a slightly better way, what proportion of that expenditure would go away if poverty was no longer a major issue in our society? And that's really, in a sense, what the title of the report is getting at in terms of the hidden cost, that this is a hidden cost in terms of expenditure to the state. And were we not to have the scale of poverty that we have, I mean, I suppose the ideal which we would all share is that poverty might be eliminated. So if you go to that full extreme, what is it that the state would no longer be spending? And so that's the logic of where the report went. There was some useful guidance out there elsewhere in the world. So this is the first time this has been done in Ireland. But when you go to other parts of the world, there have been attempts at finding a similar number as well. So there's a history of doing this in parts of the United States, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, for example, a set of reports across all of those different countries. This one's a bit different, actually, in that it, and maybe this made it even more challenging to do, in that instead of coming up with one answer, it came up with three answers. So the aim is to provide a range rather than, or the report provides a range rather than providing just a number. And the logic of that, to start with, is that this is a really difficult thing to put a figure on. So what proportion of the expenditure on, say, mental health, to just pick one of the areas that is looked at, what proportion of that wouldn't happen if poverty were no longer around? Now, clearly, we'd still have a mental health service. We'd still have mental health expenditure. There would still be demand for mental health services. But in the absence of poverty, you would expect that to be smaller. And so that's where we're going for this. But given how difficult that was, the report overall takes an approach of presenting what it describes as a main figure, and then on either side of that has a lower figure, which might be the most conservative reading as to how much it might be, and then at the other extreme has an upper limit for what the maximum might be. So I suppose that's intended for anybody who picks up this report and says, I don't agree with a particular figure. Well, then they can go in either direction, up and down, with an argument with themselves and others as to what the number is. So that's kind of sitting behind the logic for this. Therefore, there's an awful lot of figures in the report for those who either wish to read them. They're there. And for those who don't wish to read them, there's a rather nice executive summary, which kind of, presents it without overdoing the numbers as well. So within each of the areas that you mentioned, Colette, then it was a matter of digging in to see, well, precisely where do we spend our money in healthcare, to break that down in that case into three particular areas, which is acute healthcare, primary healthcare, which kind of captures community spending as well, and then mental health. And then within those to work through to determine what proportion is associated with poverty or would not exist were poverty not to be an issue in society and on an ongoing basis. Of course, those costs wouldn't disappear overnight. It may take a while for them to disappear, but nonetheless, we're determining what they are. So a lot of number crunching is really the core answer to your question, Colette, and then digging through those areas, and they really represent the main areas of public expenditure.
Thank you very much. One of the key, I suppose, the overall finding is that the public service cost of poverty is somewhere between 3 and just over 7 billion a year. And that main estimate there is about 4.5 billion. And what I found really interesting in going through the report is that part of the methodology that you used, it's not just taking a low, taking a high and getting the average somewhere in between, but there is a distinct method of going through each of those estimates. But what is behind that figure, that 4.5 billion figure?
So we get to the 4.5 billion figure. So that's the main estimate. And so that really adds up all of the main estimates for all the different areas of expenditure. So you mentioned the six areas. And then in fact, when you break down those six areas, there's 25 individual lines of public expenditure within that. So then if we were looking at expenditure on further education and training, which would sit under, say, the education and training line, it digs into, well, what does that look like? What is it spent then within that? What proportion of it is associated with particular areas of expenditure which arise because of the need for government to respond to either current or past levels of poverty. So it does mean that every one of those, these aren't average figures that are just falling out of the analysis, but rather each of the figures is determined in and of itself. Those figures come in different ways. So some of them come from an analysis of what public expenditure data there is, and you can sort of put that alongside data from the CSO, got some quite good responses to parliamentary questions, and other sort of statistical sources which would allow us to determine what proportion is linked to or is likely to be linked to poverty. There's also good indications from the international literature as well, so you can go and look at those and see, well, what was the answer they found in other countries. I suppose this study is a very bottom-up approach, so it's doing what you just said there. It's going to each of the different areas, finding a figure for them, then adding all of those figures together until you get up to those overall numbers. Now, that's probably closest to the way in which it was done in a study in the UK about almost a decade ago, and so it aligns in a sense best to what they did. Not a dramatically different society, some differences in terms of the way in which we do public services. So it is interesting to benchmark some of the numbers there. Actually, I would say when you put the entire Irish report next to studies that have been done elsewhere, it's probably a bit more conservative in terms of its overall outcomes and its overall the scale it indicates. But nonetheless, of course, that scale is, as you said, huge in terms of what the overall number is. So when we get to a figure then like €4.5 billion per annum, I suppose in plain English terms, what that means is that when you look at all of the expenditure that the Minister for Finance is responsible for standing up and announcing on Budget Day, well, within there, and you know, he allocates it to various different pots associated with various different government departments and various different public services. But when you begin to look at all of that, there is €4.5 billion of that expenditure, which is simply arising because the state is responding to the current and past experiences of poverty in our society. And therefore, it triggers demands in education. It triggers demands in the provision of family and child services, in healthcare, in housing, in the Gardaí, in parts of the welfare system as well. And so all of that is triggered, and the report is adding up to that. I think the €4.5 billion, so that's the main figure. Then you've got the lower figure, which is 3, as you mentioned, and the higher figure of just over €7 billion. Sometimes, maybe the financial crisis of a decade ago has, for those who lived through it and experienced it rolling on, and that, you know, maybe we're back in it again with the sort of COVID experience as well, that the word billion is just repeated from time to time as if it kind of means very little, and maybe people don't understand enough the difference between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3, because they sound quite small differences, of course, but they're huge in societal terms. So the report actually tries to present some of those figures in a different way. Maybe we'll come back to that. But one of them is that if you break that down on a per person basis, the spending by the state on current and past experiences of poverty and responding to that is about €900 per person per annum. So that kind of reflects the fact that this is a big area of public spending and a big draw on the resources of the state. And as Tricia mentioned earlier, I suppose it throws up questions as to whether this is really something we should be doing, or should we be really trying to minimize that expenditure over time and doing so through tackling and reducing poverty.
And one of the great things that the report does, the design of it is really good, it's really clear, and it has this excellent infographic with the circles, with all of the different expenditures in it. So for anybody looking for the real whistle-stop tour of this report, there is one page that really sets out the key aspects of those expenditures. You mentioned there about, you know, this is the hidden cost of poverty. These are the costs that would essentially go away if poverty went away. But, you know, we know that that's a long road ahead to really eliminate poverty. If you were to pull out, you know, key policy recommendations that could be made kind of short, medium, long term, what would they look like?
Well, let me pick up on your infographic point first, because I think it's worth saying it. And so I'm, as Tricia mentioned, an economist earlier who turns numbers, and therefore, you know, I'm good at creating tables and things like that. Really, this report benefited from an excellent piece of graphic design work from the people behind that, who, you know, in a sense, took the numbers across the report and then translated them into something that made them remarkably accessible. And I think that's really important. And it's important, actually, for the point we mentioned earlier, that, you know, in a sense, people can get lost and buried in some of these numbers, you're seeing them present in a very clear way is really, really helpful. So yes, at the very start of the report, that's there, and in the executive summary, it's there. And for anybody who wants to get their head around this, and in a sense where all of this public expenditure arises from, then it's really worth having a look at that. I suppose that the report throws up a kind of, for me at least, a couple of issues that you know, hopefully will be reflected in the way in which we discuss and think about poverty from here on in, and as we begin to think about public policy around that as well. The first is the obvious one. It is imposing large annual costs on the state. I suppose, again, reflecting one of the points that Tricia said at the start, this is kind of useful in saying that, you know, these costs are arising for the state, but upon everybody in the state, so that, you know, nobody should see themselves as being removed from the costs of poverty. Now, clearly, the costs of poverty fall most heavily on those who experience poverty and on their families, and of course, as we know, tend to fall not just in the current, but also tend to persist over time as well. But nonetheless, everybody in society is paying for poverty in some way. This report is useful in terms of pointing out that. So another kind of simple version of the complexity of the numbers in there is that 1 euro in every 20 euro that the government collects in taxation, whether that's from income or whether that's from VAT or from excise duties or petrol taxes or any other source of taxes that flow into the government, one in every 20 ends up going back out of the Department of Finance to pay for the costs that are arising because of current and past experiences of poverty. And I suppose really we should be aware that that's a big area of public expenditure that we need to think about whether that's really a good use of money or not. All of us, I think, would probably be of the view that is not a good use of money, and we should really be focused on minimizing that cost over time. But it'd be useful for that to be discussed in a more coherent way in policy terms. I suppose, therefore, it also points to what the report calls a virtuous circle, where we clearly could begin to invest in anti-poverty strategies. It's a bit frustrating for Ireland, actually. It's funny when you look at the literature around poverty and poverty strategies in other corners of the world, and there are various governments embracing anti-poverty strategies. They often cite Ireland as an example of a country that really got its act together on anti-poverty strategies, which we did in the late 1990s, but we kind of got lost in more recent times. And the sharp focus that we had, that you would have existed in the National Anti-Poverty Strategy when it first emerged, I think in 1997 and onwards, isn't there anymore. And I hope this report helps to point to the fact that we should be focused on doing that. But it it points to that virtuous circle that, in a sense, you can invest to tackle poverty. Clearly, that is huge benefit for those who experience or would have experienced poverty. But it also has broader state benefits, and that the state will end up spending less resources. The state will therefore need, you know, can do other things with those resources, or indeed collect less resources. You can have that debate as to what the state should or shouldn't be doing. But certainly, it wouldn't need to be spending as much of it in these particular areas.
And if I can just stop you there, because it is one of the things that a few people that had kind of read through the report or that had been on your launch, your webinar for it the week before last, that when I was talking to them about it, there was a few kind of narratives around, well, you know, are we really saying that everybody is paying for people in poverty, that we're all giving all of this, you know, amount of our taxes? And the narrative that you so beautifully put in terms of, well, it's affecting us all, has a danger of being skewed by, well, we're all paying for it. When really, actually, as you say, if it was addressed, if it was comprehensively addressed properly, that money that's being collected and that's being spent on trying to address these issues or trying to supplement issues could actually be spent elsewhere, could be spent on well-being budgets, on improving the lives for everybody.
Just on that, I suppose it's really important to say that anybody can be affected by poverty. So if you have good quality services, an adequate social protection system that's comprehensive and accessible and meets people's minimum essential standard of living, we all rely on public services at different points in our lives and the social protection system at different points in our lives. So it's not only that it has a positive impact on public resources, but it has a positive impact in addressing it, because you have adequate affordable housing, accessible quality childcare, adequate social welfare, decent work and paying conditions. And all, if you, those measures that address poverty are not just good for people who are in poverty, but it's good societal benefit for everybody. So everybody can benefit from social protection system that is effective and good quality services that everybody can use and benefit from.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah,
yeah, and I think, you know, the recent COVID, or like the ongoing COVID experience, really kind of underscores that for a lot of people as well, where, you know, the certainty and stability that many people thought they had at the start of this year ends, can be turned on its head very rapidly and very unexpectedly. And indeed, the last couple of months have been a real excellent illustration of the role of the state in terms of providing safety nets that, in a sense, people take for granted, because most people take for granted, actually, because they're fortunate enough to rarely have to rely on them in any kind of serious way. But I think, you know, the recent experience has made those considerably more visible to people. And I hope, too, actually, it would be a shame if that didn't really influence the way in which we form public policy around those social safety nets in the years to come. And then part of that is poverty. Now, one of the other challenges, Colette, with this report is that, you know, it takes, if I can pick one area, say mental health, and it will look at how much we spend on mental health, and then it derives the proportion of that that's associated with poverty. That was a little frustrating in terms of writing that section of the report, and it arose for some of the expenditure in housing and some of the expenditure in around adult literacy as well, which is that we all know that the expenditure in those areas isn't adequate to even start with, and that in fact if you were to end up reducing the spending on mental health, if you were to reduce the demand on mental health because there was less poverty, well, it would only allow you to begin to address some of the enormous deficits that are there already in the provision of those services. But the report sort of stuck to its guns in that it was going to determine a proportion of the current level of spending, and whether that is adequate or not, but what the current level is for, and then begin to accumulate the overall figure from that as well. One of the interesting comments I got back from people who attended that launch, and from people who've had a look through the report as well subsequently, is the, I suppose, the need to stress strongly how important the word prevention is in terms of the results of of this study as well. So, okay, it shows how much we are spending, but it implies that really true coordinated and focused anti-poverty strategies and preventing the emergence of poverty, there are huge savings as well, and there are huge benefits as well. Maybe I'm wearing my economist hat too strongly by using words like savings and putting savings in the context of you know, resources and so on. But I suppose even if you speak that language, which might be the language of the Department of Finance or Department of Public Expenditure and Reform and others, it's very hard to argue with the fact that simply if we were to spend money on preventing the emergence of poverty, not only is that money well spent in terms of the benefits it brings to the families who are prevented from experiencing poverty, but there are also considerable savings to the state in terms of the fact that expenditure that would otherwise have arisen wouldn't arise. Therefore, if we begin to think about our anti-poverty strategies and our poverty prevention strategies as investments rather than as spending, then that's a very different lens to bring to it. And hopefully the results of this research will help to nudge people in the direction of thinking about that.
Thank you. And back to you, Tricia, for my final question. There's a line in the report that I think is really, really striking. It says, a large amount of money raised and spent by the state every year is associated with the ways that poverty damages people's lives. And I think that is something that can't be said enough, that, you know, the narrative and the difficult narratives around people in poverty really need to be weighted against this damage, you know, that needs to be an understanding of that. And that's one of the things that I know St. Vincent de Paul tried to do to address that damage. So what happens now? What does SVP hope to do with this report now that it's out there?
Well, I suppose the first step really is to get the message out there. We really want other organisations in the sector to use it as a social justice advocacy tool, so for people to use it in their policy work around poverty and anti-poverty policies. And we'll be using it obviously in our work around the budget, which will be a very challenging budget given COVID-related expenditure issues and also the impact that's having on individuals and families, and how it's very difficult to plan for the future when we don't really know what's around the corner in terms of the public health crisis. But I think it's a really important way of framing how we approach the budget in particular, because I think a lot of the time poverty and anti-poverty policies is seen as only a responsibility for the Department of Social Protection. It's not seen as an issue that affects all government departments. And I think one of the key failings in terms of addressing poverty in the past has been that it's not seen as a cross-departmental issue and something that needs to be seen holistically. And I think this report really shows how it affects so many different areas of society and so many different areas of government policy. So at the first step really is to maybe just push that as an important agenda, particularly with the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And one of the first things we'd like to see introduced in the new government, and something that they will commit to, is hopefully on Budget Day that the Minister for Finance stands up when he's giving his speech and outlines in detail how this budget will reduce or address poverty and have some sort of equality and poverty proofing impact statement in terms of how the resources will be allocated for the following year and what will be done to address poverty and inequality. The other piece of work that we would like to see a special Oireachtas committee established on poverty and inequality to look at these issues more in depth, because I think it's not given, as Micheál said, it's not given priority maybe it used to be given in the first National Anti-Poverty Strategy. If you read the foreword to that by the leaders of the Rainbow Coalition, it's quite striking how strong the language is in terms of addressing the structural issues that cause poverty and putting poverty and people who experience it at the centre of policy making, and having to make difficult choices about the redistribution of wealth and income in Irish society and address those kind of systemic issues that cause poverty. And I think what we are saying and this report clearly shows, as you've mentioned, is that we spend so much trying to alleviate the effects of poverty on people's lives every year, and it's much more effective use of resources to actually address the structural issues that cause poverty in the first place. And obviously that's a much longer term piece. And when we're talking about that, you know, we want a universal public childcare, adequate, affordable housing for everyone, an adequate system of social welfare, an end to energy poverty, and just having the issue as something that is on the national agenda, that it affects every area of society, but not least, most of importantly, people who are directly experiencing it. And I suppose we now have evidence to show that it has much wider impacts, but I suppose the most important thing is that there's still a very strong moral argument for why you address poverty, because we see firsthand the damage that it causes to people. And it's not right that poverty is allowed to persist. And I suppose it is solvable as well, as what we're trying to say. You know, it's not inevitable. And I think if there is talk of heading into an economic recession, at least preventing more people falling into poverty is a much more effective use of resources at this time where they might be constrained. So we're talking about investing to save.
Yeah, and I think at a time when, as you say, we are possibly heading into another recession, this report makes a really good argument for not going down the austerity route again, for actually taking, as you say, the investment approach to addressing the needs of people following the current crisis that we're in.
Yeah.
I'd really like to thank you both for your inputs and for taking the time to speak to me. I know, Michal, it's nighttime where you are and morning, early morning time where you are, Trisha. So thank you so, so much.
Pleasure. And I look forward to more and more people reading it and using it, and will encourage them to get out there and do that. And Trisha will give you the details of where to find it.
Yeah, thanks very much, Colette, for having us on. And the full report is on our website, svp.ie.
Thank you. Hopefully you found this episode interesting. You can download a copy of this report, The Hidden Cost of Poverty, from the website of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, svp.ie. If you're interested in the data on people in poverty, Social Justice Ireland also produced our poverty focus earlier this year. That's available from our website, socialjustice.ie. And we have a 10-minute lesson podcast on an introduction to poverty in Ireland, which is available to download from our website as well, or from wherever you're listening to this podcast now. And don't forget, if you have any ideas that you'd like to see covered, please do email us at secretary@socialjustice.ie. And until next time, stay safe.